Do you find yourself struggling between the choices of playing the latest video games you got for Christmas or debating Aunt Fanny about religion over Christmas dinner?
Do you find yourself trying to work video games into your school papers, Sunday sermon, or next book proposal?
Do you wish you had more people to argue with about the hidden philosophical meaning of your favorite RPG?
Well then, nerds, we are the podcast for you!
No Avatars Allowed is a podcast about video games, theology, and all things cultural and intellectual.
Oh, and we talk about sex a lot, too.
Our hosts Rachel Dalton, Ben Wallace, and Joshua Wise figure out each week how on earth to cram video games into some kind of bigger discussion.
And mostly, we make it work.
Check us out every Saturday morning on allportsopen.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So grab your controller, that unused copy of Thomas Aquinas that's sitting on your shelf, and maybe a negligee, and come join us for what is certain to be an interesting and strange conversation on No Avatars Allowed. Welcome to APOM Plays, the premium actual play podcast for the All Ports Open Network. I'm your host, Joshua Wise. We are here to play Vessin by Free League, and I am here with a group of people. We've just gotten on the mics. I have no idea how this is going to go. We've got absolutely no chemistry whatsoever happening, so it's cold open. Who knows what's going to... I don't even know if everybody's here yet. I'm going to go down. I'm going to say your name. Say hi if you want. Who am I to tell you what to do? Jillian Gonzalez is here. Hey, Jillian, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I have gotten a lot of lovely Christmas gifts from my friends, one of them being the official D&D cookbook, The Hero's Feast, and yes. I baked a pie from it a couple weeks ago. It was very good.
Yes, you showed us in the Discord. My housemate also has that cookbook. I'm not sure if he's ever actually cooked anything out of it, but... do you have a recipe that you're aiming for next?
They have a recipe for honey drizzled cream puffs, and they look very good. I've just never made cream puffs before, and I hear you laughing.
Just Carlina.
Cream puffs.
Honey drizzled cream puffs. Speaking of honey drizzled cream puffs, Carlina Parker is here. How are you, Carlina?
Oh my god.
I love that I'm the one who was like, everybody focus. Come on, let's do this. And not, but 45 seconds later, I'm really sorry.
I mean, I'm blaming Jillian because she mentioned a food that has words in it. And how could anyone expect you to keep your composure when that...
I don't know why that... I don't know what it is about just those words in a string together that make me tee.
Oh, cream puffs?
No,
honey drizzle
it's not even
cream
that.
Puffs.
It's with the drizzle as well. It's
just... Yeah. Honey drizzle.
Honey
drizzled.
I mean, there's...
Puffs.
Yeah, yes, obviously, it's a very overtly sexual pastry that, like...
Honey,
how could anybody not?
Puffs.
Yeah, you get those plosives in there. But yes, how are you, Carlina?
I'm great. Yep, I'm here. I know I say that because you were worried some people wouldn't be, and I just want
true.
You to know that this isn't a Schrodinger's Carlina situation. I'm here.
You shouldn't have brought up Schrodinger. You
oh,
know, when
no.
Schrodinger
Keep
wrote
Next.
That.
Go. Next. Move on.
Next.
Move on.
He proposed it as a crazy idea. People continue.
Speaking
to
of
anyway.
Schrodinger, we have Quinn.
Actually, I was going to say, speaking of people who are here, Gerard is here.
Oh, no. I skipped my intro.
No, that's my thing. I'm here.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I had a little trip, a fun little anecdote for you. I went on a little trip, proposed to my beautiful girlfriend. And on that trip, we went kayaking at one point on a little tour. And our kayak was taking on some water where I was sitting. And I said, hey, buddy, there's a lot of water here. Is this fine? And like, there's holes for the water to go out. He said, yeah, it's because you're fat, but fatter people do this. And I was like, cool. All right. That's okay. Thank you.
Is that
no,
real?
Didn't.
Did he
yes.
say that to
he
you?
Said, yep. He said, yeah. And this is what he said. I'll do it in his voice too. Yeah, but it's, cause you're a bit, you know, a bit plump, bit fat. Haha, yeah, but I've seen fatter people do it, so don't worry, you're good. Just like that.
Speaking of people who were good, Quinn Seaforth.
Ooh, that was.
Oh my god!
With bated breath, that was.
Ooh. Ooh, woo! That ooh. Was cool.
I'm gonna be real honest. I listened to none of your story. I was just listening for words I could use to transition.
No.
Just like my
so you wrestled a bear and the bear said something to you. I'll go back and listen to the recording afterwards. How are you, Quinn?
You have reached the voice message of
Quinn Seaforth.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey Quinn, I think it's really interesting that you both are the recording person and the voice fill-in person. That's a good get job-wise. When you get a chance, could you call in to the Discord where we are trying to record an episode here? And I think Gerard might be badly wounded by a bear. I don't think we have a lot of time. So when you get a chance, you just call back in.
So while we wait for Quinn to call in, Gerard, congratulations on getting engaged. Also, sorry about the bear attack.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's rough.
He did say Siki Nar, the tour guide, not the bear. Just want to let people know. He said Siki Nar, and I thought that was very fun.
You're in California.
Before he called me fat, he said Siki Nar.
But you're in California, right? That's correct. The only place on earth someone would say a thing like
correct, that. Correct. It was in San Diego.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. And I think Quinn might have called in at this point. Are you there, Quinn?
I am, yeah. Sorry, I was just recording for this really great job I got working for recording voicemail messages.
Yeah. Oh, that's, wow. Good timing.
Great. So here we are. Quick review of last episode. You guys went back to the castle. Basically, you did all your research, and then you decided to go to the place that has a library and look up a bunch of stuff. And Lawrence finally got Lawrence's moment to shine with all the research instead of just being bossed around constantly by his uncle. Yeah, so you guys have discovered some things. So I'm going to ask you some questions and see if you can answer them. What is the manner in which the three people who you're investigating have died?
They were hung and blinded in one eye.
All right. They were hanged or hung, depending on who you ask, and blinded in one eye. Who were the three people who were killed?
Oh, shit.
Father.
We have.
Jan.
Father Jan.
Father Jan.
Mm-hmm.
Eva Johansson.
And was it.
The magistrate, whose name
Nicolaus.
I can't recall.
Nicolaus X.
Was that? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All very the doors good. Were locked and...
Leaves.
Oh, yeah, the leaves from the tree that I'm thinking
the ash
of the name
tree.
Of.
Ash tree.
An
ash tree.
Oh, my God, the biggest plot point. Yeah.
And then there were the little tiny scratches?
Claw marks. Yes. Well, they weren't very... They were skinny, but they were long.
Yes.
Perhaps the claw marks from ravens?
No. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
Convincing. And you asked some questions in the library. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what your questions were?
Yes. One of them was about Vessin that are related to ash trees. One of them was, do any Vessin have something related to hanging or being blinded? With an eye and dreams. And the third one was, is there a history of people hanging themselves with one eye being blinded?
Good. And you learned what?
We learned about the Chinare.
Yes.
Which is a servant of a powerful being. We learned about the ash tree wife, which is someone married to an ash tree. I forget what that one is. I think that's
it is a
terrifying female Vessin that is bound to the tree,
yes,
demanding
yes.
offerings of people at certain times of the year.
Yearly rituals, yep. Such as maybe a May Day festival?
She will hunt those who damage right. the tree and torment them. And then we learned about the books of folklore, the Poetic Edda and the Prose Edda, and then about the Aesir. And then we learned about Wotan and Hugin and Munin, and that Wednesday is Wotan's day.
Yes. And we learn about Odin was the ancient Nordic god with one eye and was worshipped by hanging people.
Yes, all of which is true. So there is one glaring question that you have not answered. And so you are all going to take the train out to what town?
Sørvatn.
Sørvatn.
Yes, Sørvatn. And there is one question that you have not answered that Nils, who is traveling with you, raises for you. You have a theory about the tree, about Eva Johansson and the May Day Festival somehow being connected to the tree. And you have something maybe to do with Father Forsmark. He was in the town. But there's no evidence whatsoever that Niklas Ek, the magistrate, was ever in the town. So what does he have to do with this mystery?
All I know is I remember from looking in his office and speaking with his assistant, Greta, I believe it was. He was working on several new land charters. There was Blurtred, Grunkula, Applefirsta, and Sørvatn. So some sort of land charter happening there could have annoyed the Vesin. That was the only connection that I noticed throughout all of our investigation.
Yes.
Good. And what does a land charter have to do with it?
Oh.
Can I use elementary?
This would be your one time for this session, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to use elementary, which is to ask the... Like once per session, I can ask the game master to explain how clues are connected. And I want to use that on the connection between the land charter. And I'm going to say... I'm going to say the ash tree. Or should I say, or should I go for, should I go for the land charter and maybe Nick, no, yeah, the land charter and the ash tree.
Okay. Other than the land charter encompassing the land that the ash tree is on, they have nothing to do with each other.
I should not have used ash trees, the other clue. Okay. Thank you.
So it is worth noting that that land charter does sort of encompass the entire town of Sørvatn.
Yeah. Okay.
And was the land charter in order to, like, make Sørvatn an official town?
Yes.
Okay. What does that mean for Sørvatn as a town for it to become an officially chartered?
It potentially could mean expansion, I believe. And one of the clues had to do with someone taking revenge on someone who hurts the tree, no?
Yes.
Potentially someone doesn't want the tree to be destroyed to make way for buildings and things that a town would bring.
Such as an ancient vesin?
It would be a bit preemptive, I feel. Is the thing. Since the land charter just encompasses the entirety of the town and what it is to become, and the tree is already part of said town's traditions, it doesn't sound like there are plans currently to cut down the tree, but it could be about the surrounding area and fear of expansion.
As part of the land charter, do we have any idea whether the town management, so to speak, like the mayor or the officials of the town would be replaced?
So in a town like this, they might have a mayor or they might have a sort of a council of elders. They might have just sort of an elected council. You're not really sure how they've arranged it. But in a charter like this, usually it will establish like that the town is a town. And what the ruling body is.
Okay. I guess maybe something to keep in mind then would be for us to talk to the management of the town and see kind of their opinion on this land charter. Because maybe there's something in the land charter about this town changing hands to some other ruling body, in which case maybe the tree was at risk.
What is it considered now? Just like a village?
Yes.
Okay.
And before the land charter, it was nothing officially.
Mm-hmm.
Could also perhaps be residents who do not want to become an official town. Then asking the Ash Tree Wife for help, perhaps. Or asking Wotan for help.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be the Vessin acting individually.
The only thing I can come to think of now is that a town will always bring foot traffic more than they already have. But I just don't have enough to go on.
So Nils sort of sits back and listens to all of this and says, okay, but what does a priest, a girl in a Mayday, and the town charter have to do with each other?
The only word that comes to mind is tradition, but...
Exactly. And from what Ava's parents said, it sounded like the May Queen traditions in Sir Fatin were very much in line with how they usually were. Although the dreams didn't start until after the festival. And yet the crowning of May Queen, the presence of Father Jan. Oh, there was a wedding that day. Perhaps we should look into who was wedded.
Yeah, that's my working theory. Father Jan was in town around the same time. I mean, the most reasonable assumption we can make is that the three of them were in town around the same time as whatever incident created this little domino effect.
Yeah. Nils raises a finger and says, but the magistrate wasn't in town.
We know that for certain?
We don't have any evidence to think that he was. In fact, I believe we were told that he does all of his work from the city.
Huh.
So whatever this is would require a significant degree of intelligence to then reach out against the magistrate himself. Would require a knowledge of the way that town charters work and the process of becoming a town.
This might be a stretch, but picture this. So there was a case in which, so let's say whatever this Vessin is, or if it is working for Odin or what have you, let's say it did go after Ava and Father Jan for a misdeed or a crime or something that happened at this May festival. What if a third party knew that that would be the outcome and used that as a cover to get to Niklaus?
Well, it is certainly a possibility. The amount of planning that would require, as far as we know, and with the best estimate of the timeline we were given, the deaths all happened on the same night, within a very small time of each other.
Three is such a specific number. With my limited experience with Vessin, I love specific numbers.
And also, Nicholas Eck had supposedly already left his office when he was discovered.
Would this be an instance where some kind of empathy role would help to understand?
Who are you empathizing with?
I don't know. I was going to wait until you answered that question.
I was hoping you'd tell me.
I think if you had an idea about who you were empathizing with to try to understand motivation, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. I could either be trying to empathize with the Vessin itself, being like, what would it want with these people? Why could it have been angry with them, knowing what we knew of the circumstances so far? I know we haven't been there, so we're not exactly sure. Or to empathize with all of the victims and see what they would have had in common.
Okay. So I don't think empathy is a what they have in common. That's a logic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're trying to empathize with the Vessin,
I'm happy to let you try, but I would say that it would take quite a high roll to empathize with someone that you don't really, that all you suspect about them is that they killed three people.
Mm-hmm.
So you're certainly able to try, but I would also say that it's a big, it would require quite a bit.
Sure. You know what? What else am I doing? I'll try. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Give it a go.
What kind of role would this be? Perhaps.
So
like,
how many dice? It's just empathy. It's straight empathy here, right?
Okay.
Like, so how many dice do you have in empathy?
I have 4.
Okay. So I would say that for trying to understand someone you have never met and only really hypothesize about, you would need 3 successes.
Cool. Can I use Nils?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Sure.
Nils, so
you seem to be a man
remember...
of the heart.
Yeah.
A romancier.
And you've been very vocal this episode. I require your assistance.
We've gotten to know each other very well.
Yes.
So let's see. Advantage. Which adds +2 dice to a skill test. So you get to add 2 more dice.
Yes. Okay. No whammies.
Wow, that is a reference.
That was a lot of whammies. I had 1 success, though.
Okay.
I was going to ask if I could roll, I'm thinking either investigation or maybe learning, just to kind of figure out what these connections are. Of the ones that we've made. Of the connections that we've made, I feel like I'm missing something from the clues we already have, and I want to see if I can just roll to kind of piece them together a bit more.
Okay, so investigation is sort of a searching mm-hmm. thing, like physical search.
Okay.
Will this be observation?
Yeah, observation then.
So you're not really have it. You don't really have anyone to observe.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no skill for thinking.
There's just logic.
That's
there's
just
a
logic.
Straight logic.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'll do a straight, sorry. That felt very dumb. I'll do a logic roll.
Also, learning. So learning is a measure of your education as well as your ability to establish connections through logic and knowledge.
Okay.
When you need to know something about what is in front of you, you can make a learning test to gain clues. Sometimes the game master will say that it requires books or other sources of information. In some situations, it is impossible to get any clues. So yeah, you can use learning to translate foreign languages, figure out how best to behave in certain situations.
Could I use learning to go through the notes that Lorit has and see if anything
sure.
additional pops out to me?
Sure. By the way, do you have the skill
yes.
learning?
Yes, I do.
Okay, then yes. Okay. So give me a learning roll. Are you also going to do this with Nils? Are you going to use your 1 advantage?
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, I know I won't.
Be smart.
Oh, inspiration can be used to heal mental conditions. Your friends must be somewhere safe and have access, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I think anyone can heal 1, but as a priest, I heal 2, and as a priest with absolution, I heal 3.
Okay.
I believe.
So someone else could heal, if they have
yeah.
inspiration, they can heal you.
Yeah, they're just not as good as me.
Okay.
So
great.
I got 2 sixes, and does Nils give me 2 additional?
He gives you 2 extra
okay,
dice.
Okay, yeah. So I rolled with those. I rolled 2 sixes, and I'm just going to push.
Well, I would say 2 successes is good for looking over all of the notes with help. So tell me what it is that you're looking at. Ask me up to 2 questions.
Okay. I feel like there's something big that Henrik is missing here, and him as an actual detective, I feel like he would have seen this already, but Gerard, mm-hmm. a silly voice boy, is having a hard time putting the pieces together. So what's kind of standing out to me is the Gennare and the Ash Tree Wife. Whether they are 1 and the same, whether it is a Gennare or an Ash Tree Wife, and kind of that situation there. And then really what Niklas Ek has to do with any of this. Those are like the big ones.
Okay. So Nils, and you sort of pour over the evidence, and Nils says, it certainly doesn't seem to me like it's an ash tree wife, because nobody has harmed the tree. There's no indication that anybody's harmed the tree. So an ash tree wife would take vengeance on someone harming the tree, but certainly the priest didn't harm the tree by performing a wedding underneath it, and the girl didn't harm the tree by dancing around the maypole and being crowned the May Queen under the leaves of the tree. And I can't see how the magistrate would have harmed the tree by just signing a document and giving it a stamp of approval.
Sure. All right. So it's a genare.
And then as far as the magistrate goes, what does he have to do with it? It seems to me that each of the people did something that offended whoever killed them. And as far as we know, the only thing that the magistrate did was sign the document that made the town into a town. So somehow, by becoming a town, he offended this Vessen.
Very astute of you, Nils. I think you're right. So we have a name for our Vessen at least, which means we can move forward with a bit more security. At least now we know what we're fighting against. We're fighting a genare.
Nils will also point out that genare is a general category of servants of the old gods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And not a kind of Vessen.
So we're fighting a genare for Odin, but we don't know the specific Vessen.
Right. So Nils has helped you sort of establish that signing the town into existence, something the priest did, something that Eva did, all offended this genere.
So from what we can tell, something has offended the Vessen.
Mm-hmm.
The magistrate clearly had to have offended it through the land charter, as you pointed out, Nils. So we just need to figure out what Eva and Father Jan did to offend it. And we do know of things that Father Jan did notably in Sudvatn is perform a wedding ceremony, so I imagine we should start when we arrive there by figuring out who that couple was and interrogating them. What's the nice word for interrogating them? Talking to them.
Questioning.
Questioning them. Yes. Yes, that sounds less forceful. As for what Eva did, I have no ideas whatsoever. Beside marrying, she didn't marry anyone. Besides having a good time at a party.
All right, so you guys have this extended conversation whilst on a train, and you pull into the station at Sudvatn. It's a very small station, but as you get out with your little overnight bags, you see a very quaint little village that has a main street with very basic amenities. There's a little tavern, there's a blacksmith, there's what you assume to be a carpenter's shop or, you know, a little hardware store or something like that. And then just little thatched roofed houses dotted around the town. And at the very end of the street, with its back against some hills, a very large ash tree. And that is where we will end this episode. And we will be back next week as our heroes venture into Sudvatn. Armed with all of the knowledge that they gathered from this very enlightening train ride. We'll be back in a week. Apon Plays is produced by Christopher Zumsky, Benjamin Wallace, and Joshua Wise. This episode stars Jillian Gonzalez, Gerard Marquez, Carlina Parker, and Quinn Steve Bold. It features Handel's Concerto for Organ and Orchestra Opus 7, No. 1 by Advent Chamber Orchestra. This session was game mastered and edited by Joshua Wise. You can find more shows at allportsopen.com and can help support this show by going to patreon.com/allportsopen.
Hey Mel, what do they have in Charity, Maine?
Lobster roll. Free parking. My favorite sandwich shop, Lou's. I just keep thinking of sandwiches. I just really want a lobster roll.
This is Pot of Love, and all of our Season 2 stories take place in the fictional town of Charity, Maine. We hope you'll visit Charity with us. Season 2 of Pot of Love is available now. New episodes drop on Wednesdays. We're bringing you new games, new stories, and new bad jokes.
Skiing.
Only available at allportsopen.com, where all the best podcasts are found. That's All Ports Open Network at allportsopen.com.